switch off.
Good morning, Audio Boo. It's been a while. Things here are very hectic, but this is not the time for this. Just to say that I've been here, I've been listening a little bit. Haven't really had much time for Audio Boo, even though I missed it. Just a lot of things to accomplish in a very short time. But like I said, this is not what it's about. This is about... Today is the 16th of April, 2015. It is about 20 minutes past 9, I believe. And today in Israel, a very special day is being marked. Today is Holocaust Memorial Day. And it's marked every year around this time. And being a daughter of a Holocaust survivor, I don't really need Holocaust Memorial Day to make me think about the horrible thing that was the Holocaust and the very, very scary aspects and phenomena of genocide, which still exists in other places. But today we're marking the Holocaust that happened during World War II, where many, many millions were exterminated by the killing machine that was the Nazi regime. And that includes 6 million Jews and I think about 9 million others. Gypsies, Slavs, homosexuals, disabled people, anyone who wasn't contributing to the purity of the Aryan race. What happens today is that there are ceremonies and services, and it's not a religious holiday. There is school today. It's not a public holiday. Since the day is observed according to the Jewish calendar, which means it started last night. So last night there were no. It's like a national day of mourning. So basically, the restaurants were shut last night. Theaters, movies. There's no movies. There's no. The entertainment business shuts down on this day. Today, restaurants will be open during the day because people are working. So, you know, a lot of people go out to lunch and things like that. It's not, during the day, it's not really considered so much an entertainment thing, so much as a, you know, you work, so you got to eat kind of thing. I mean, I know that not everybody goes out for entertainment in the evening and not everybody goes out for work at lunch, but, you know, if people are going to be working, you can't really shut the eateries, can you? So, especially not in this country. So today, the radio plays very quiet music. Usually, I don't know if it's still like that, but for many, many years, I think it's still like that. On the government stations, there are no ads on this day. It's all very subdued, very quiet music. A lot of music that was written about the Holocaust a lot of readings, a lot of documentaries, a lot of radio and television documentaries, a lot of conversations and interviews with survivors. The generation of survivors is dwindling because they're getting very, very old. My mom is going to be 80 in September. And, you know, and she was very young during the Holocaust. So anyone who was any, you know, any older, there's not a lot of people left. My mom, the Holocaust started when she was 4 and ended when she was 10. Well, not quite 10, I suppose, but yeah, the year she turned 10. And she's got a lot of memories that she doesn't talk about. I find that people who survived the Holocaust are divided into two main categories. The people who need to talk about it, who want to talk about it, to the point where it's just, you can't hear it anymore. It's, they're obsessed with it. They're living it every day. And I've seen people like that. They still think they're there. I mean, they know they're not there, you know what I mean? But the memories are so vivid, they have to talk about them, otherwise it would drive them insane. Actually, some people have been, had been driven to very difficult mental states because of the Holocaust. In fact, there is a ward in one of the top psychiatric hospitals in this country that is only for Holocaust survivors. I dare say they won't need it in a few years' time anymore, but this ward is dedicated to them, and people have been there. There's some people who've been there for 30, 40 years now, which is very scary. And the other kind of people are people like my mom, I think, who don't want to talk about it at all. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. They're out of it. It's not that it didn't happen, but it's just, they can't face it. I don't know, there's probably a psychological term for this, but they push it to the recesses of their mind and they just don't deal with it. I mean, apart from calling it avoidance, there's probably a better word for it. And I can't say that I can't judge either. You know, when I think of the enormity of what it would be like to be in a camp, a labor camp, a concentration camp, you know, and seeing people put to death every day, I don't know how I would survive. I don't know if I'd want to talk about it or I'd want to pretend like it didn't happen. You know,
it's not just seeing people put to death, but knowing that it could just as easily be you.
And starving.
And going on for so long, you know, I mean, some people were in these camps for years and years.
And there's no real good reason.
No.
You know, every day you have to get up, stand there in the cold, and maybe you'll be put to death today, maybe you won't. And, I mean, I think it would drive me absolutely. I mean, some people were driven to suicide, and you can't really blame them. I can't blame anyone for any way that they deal with this. I think people who survived are incredible. I mean, they're lucky, but they're also incredibly strong people for having survived. I don't know. I can't. I mean, I know what happened because I grew up knowing about it, but I don't know. I mean, it's such an enormity. I can't even grasp, even though I know and I've heard and I've researched and studied, and I went to Poland and I saw these camps and I touched the bunks that they slept on, and I went in and saw the kind of toilets they used. I touched the crematoriums, the ovens. I was in the gas chamber. I touched the walls with all the scratch marks, people trying to get out and everything. And I still can't understand it. I don't think an average human mind can understand this.
And this is why it's really important that we remember and talk about these things, because it is so barbaric, it is so cruel on such a monolithic scale that it's very difficult for the average human mind to comprehend it. And so it's easier to say, I couldn't have happened, because it's just impossible almost to grasp. But it did happen.
It did happen.
And it's very well documented.
And some of the survivors are still alive to tell the tale.
Exactly.
You can't say, oh, well, this happened 300 years ago, so we're not sure. This happened, you know.
Well, also, it happened in the 20th century at a time when things were documented much more clearly.
In Europe.
The Germans were meticulous record keepers. I mean, they tried to destroy a lot of the records, but a lot of it survived. You know.
In Europe. In the cultured world. Makes no sense.
Mm.
What amazes me sometimes is, you know, when you look at the records, they also recycled numbers, you know, how they would tattoo numbers on people's arms.
Mm.
And I've met people with these tattoos. I've seen them. These exist.
Mm.
I'm telling you. Once this person dies, they gave their number to someone else.
Mm.
Can you grasp that? These were not people for them. They dehumanized them. Otherwise, that was the only way they could do it.
They had to.
These were not people. I don't know what they thought of them as, but they weren't people.
Subhuman.
Well, Untermensch. That is it. Subhuman.
Mm.
And you know, and when you walk into Auschwitz, I've walked in there, and luckily I walked out as well.
Yeah.
There is a sign right at the entrance, and it says, Arbeit macht frei, which means work makes you free, gives freedom. And I think that is the most cynical, disgusting thing to put on an entrance to a death camp. This wasn't a labor camp. This camp existed solely to destroy people, to kill. This was part of the killing machine. There was no work. There were labor camps, and sometimes people did. They did send them to, like, quarries and things like that. But a lot of people worked in the death chambers. I mean, how would you be working in the death chamber? Working in the gas chamber, working in the ovens. In Majdanek, which is next to Lublin in Poland, I found, even though Auschwitz-Birkenau has the most stuff that survived, a lot of it is behind glass. And while you can still touch things and be in the crematoriums and things like that, and I remember we were walking, you know, there's these paths that you can walk on, you need to walk on, and on both sides of the paths there's this kind of sludge, this kind of mud, and we were in a group, and one of us, one of the people was walking off the path in the mud, and the guide said, you need to get on the path, you're actually walking on ash, on human ash. You need to be on the path. It's incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. So even though that's pretty raw, I found Majdanek to be the most raw because it had things pretty much as they were left. They didn't make it into a museum. You walked into the gas chamber, you stood in there, you walked into where the ovens were. I will tell you something about the ovens in a minute. You walked into where they slept. There are bunks, like three bunks, like bunk beds, but three high. And the width of like a single bed, but a small one, like a child's, not a cot, but a narrow single bed. And there were 12 people to one of those. How, I don't know. You walk into a room, and all there is from floor to ceiling, children's shoes, adult shoes. Shoes, just shoes. Men, women, boots, sandals, flip-flops, shoes. You can touch them. I held a little girl's pair of shoes. It's not, it doesn't bear thinking about. What I found really, I mean, I won't even talk about, I don't want to go into too much gore, but there's this operating table they had, and there's these other things that I'm not going to go into, but because it's just too much. I don't want to upset all of you more than this is already upsetting people. But what really amazed me, amazed in big quotes, is where the ovens were. I hate to be crude, but it looks like a pizza oven. It's one of those lower ovens. And there was a big bathtub next to the ovens, and what we learned is that the commander of the camp would take a bath, and guess what? How they'd heat the water? In the same room. I'm not making this up, people. I saw it. I was there, you know, in 2001. And I saw all these things. A number of people passed out when we walked into that room. They couldn't handle it. I didn't pass out, but it messed with my brain. It messed with my brain. It really, really did. You can't... It's not even cruelty anymore. I mean, it's cruel, but it's...
Evil.
I don't know what word to even use, because... You know, surely... I'm thinking of the army and the people who did this. Surely they couldn't be all evil, horrible people. Surely there were probably some really nice people there. How could they bring themselves to do this? They must have been brainwashed or something. I don't know. I don't understand how you can hate so much. And actually believe that there are humans who are less human than you are. And this isn't just unique to World War II and the Holocaust. This happens all over the world. It's happening right now in certain countries. You know, in third world countries. It happened in Armenia. It happened in Rwanda. It happened in the Sudan. Some say it even happened in the Balkans. But there was nowhere was there such a machine, such an efficient way of doing this. They built these camps. There were labor camps in a lot of places in Europe. But the death camps were only in Poland because they wanted to hide them from the Red Cross. The Red Cross didn't really see the death camps. They saw the labor camps, they saw people working, and if people died as a result, well, you know. But, and they had trains, and they had, just think how much, you know, let's be cold about this, how much this whole thing cost to run. Unbelievable. And this conviction that was the absolute right thing to do. I don't... Women, men, children. It does not compute. It does not compute. I talk about it and I'm saying surely this didn't happen. But it did. It did. It did happen. Not that long ago in the scheme of things, really. Like I said, the survivors are still alive to tell the tale, some of them. My mother included. So, what is today? Today we talk about these things. Today we sing about these things. There are very sad songs that were written even during the war by people who, you know. We read books by people such as Janusz Korczak, who... was a very prominent Jewish author in Poland, and he, actually I'm not even sure he was Jewish. I'm not sure if he was, but he was an author, and he took a lot of Jewish kids into and made an orphanage for them, and it still exists. And the Germans, well, I shouldn't say the Germans, the Nazi army went and took the children to the camp, and they said, you know, you don't have to go. You're a productive member of society. You're a prolific writer. We don't want to hurt you. And he said, no. If they go, I go. And he went with them. And he died with them. And he didn't have to die. But he chose to because he wanted to be with them. And he wanted them to have him with them, if that makes sense, because they loved him. And so you hear about stories like that, and there's many other stories like this. I don't know. So today is a day that we do things like this. We watch documentaries, we think, we analyze, we say, how could this happen? And we want to make sure that this doesn't happen again in any country, to any race, to anyone. And the thing is that it's going to keep happening. But that's why it's so important for us to talk about it and to remember it. Today at 10 o'clock, there's going to be a siren across the country. Now, those of you who heard us last year when we had real air raid sirens, if you remember, the air raid siren was this kind of up and down kind of wailing note. This is going to be just one flat. It's not going to go up and down. I will record it for you. That will mark 2 minutes of silence. You're supposed to stand. People get out of their cars. Buses stop. Everything stops. And people just stand and think about it for 2 minutes. And then a lot of ceremonies will start. So I will, before I send this off, I will record this for you so that you can get an atmosphere. So I think we're hearing the school because I think we're getting ready. I think they've probably rehearsed something, and we'll probably get some kind of a ceremony from them. I don't know. This kind of thing blows my mind, and it's so important. That's why I get scared when, you know, a group of people, any group of people, decides that they need to be the superpower and take over the world, or that a group of people gets demonized for something. And, you know, how do we stop this? How do we stop this? Is it even possible to stop it, or is it just human instinct? Is it a survival instinct? I don't know. But there are no answers to this, and we're surely not going to find them today. But if you've got the time today, read something about the Holocaust. Look something up on Wikipedia. Search for music, maybe, or interview with survivor, or read the diary of Anne Frank. It doesn't matter. Just read something. Listen to something. Take part in something. And think about all these people who were innocent, who didn't survive. And just because of who they were, you know, they were of the, quote, wrong religion, or the, quote, wrong hair and eye color, or the, quote, wrong sexual orientation and identity. Who are people to decide what's the right way to be? So let's just be a little bit better today. And, you know, Even if each of us thinks about it for 5 minutes, or reads something about it, or watches a movie about it, or does something to do with it, we're that much closer to making sure that this doesn't happen again, or at least try to.
Speech on. Pause recording. Button. 34 minutes and pause recording. Button. Speech off.
We have less than a minute. Started. Oh. Oh, did he not?
Doggy.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. That is ear piercing. That is really, really loud. Last time I heard the siren was the air raid siren, the real one, when we had to run to the bomb shelter. So it was a bit off-putting, but it didn't sound like that. It sounded, well, it was the same notes, but it was...
But it rise and fell.
Yeah, like the beginning and the end of this.
Yeah.
It's not a nice sound.
Well, it needs to be able to...
It's piercing.
It needs to be able to wake you up, and you need to be able to hear it, like, indoors. Like, when it went off last year, we were inside with the air conditioning on, with the place closed up. We still needed to be able to hear it.
Yeah,
and that's why I insisted on sleeping with the window open, because I didn't want us to miss the sleep through it.
No, no, we didn't miss it. Those of you who were following us on Audioboo last year would have heard it.
Mm. And if you dig back through my audio booth, you'll find it.
Yeah, we're sitting in the bomb shelter. It was not nice. It was not nice at all.
Fortunately, we only had to deal with it once before we went away, but I understand.
Yeah, we went away, but it happened a lot of times.
Yeah, I understand that people who lived here had to deal with it many times.
The explosions and stuff.
Yeah, shells shot down over our heads.
Over our heads here, and it was really loud. was really loud.
Oh, yeah, when they blow these things out of the sky, it is loud. I mean, we could hear them being blown up over Tel Aviv.
That was loud enough.
Yeah, we heard one near Hadera.
Yeah, that was just a few minutes before we went into the shelter, I think.
No, I think it was after.
Oh, what was that night?
Yeah, it was. It's like, wow.
Anyways, this is it. This is what it's like today.
We have another Memorial Day next week.
That's the Memorial Day for the soldiers and the victims of terrorism. Oops.
And then the day after that is the country's Independence Day. So it's a real roller coaster ride of emotions.
Yeah. And it's deliberate.
Speech on. Pause recording.
All right. So enough about this. I hope you all have a good day and just think about it for a few minutes.
29 minutes and 6 pause recording button.